from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Vinny and Haney on your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I mean, we have three hits today, so we made use of some walks and the throwing error and a couple homers. But you know, I think Adley's going to start swinging the bat better, and Gunn's been swinging the bat. He's throwing the bat great this series.
The scoreless starts.
It's an amazing stat. I heard about that before his last one. It's I want to say yes. That would be great. We could really use it. So love to have our bullpen guys start pitching better and give us more options down there. And hopefully Albert can continue the great ride he's on.
It means a lot. Every time I'm out there and be able to help the team, to give everything I got, it just to me just positive. Thought positive thing, and then if they got positive results, it's even better.
Yeah, I went with Dominguez there. Those guys can't pitch every single night, so we have 8 guys in our pen. We have to have these other 4 or 5 guys be able to impact us positively also out of the bullpen. It's really, really important. We're not going to be able to pitch these 3 guys every single night.
Kind of seems like you are, though. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, the band is back together. Cordell, thank you for filling in for the old pirate. I'll explain my stuff as the show progresses. Certainly not the top story of the day, but the Orioles salvaging one against the Boston Red Sox. Well, you know you're living good when the team that you beat out-hit you by 8. Mm-hmm. You scored more runs than hits that you had. They left a ton of dudes on base, the Boston Red Sox. So that's a team probably a little frustrated walking out of Camden Yards. But for the Orioles, and given the fact that the Yankees blew a lead last night late against the Tigers, we wake up here on this Monday morning, and for all of the Orioles suckage that we have seen, and let me point this out to you, ladies and gentlemen, since June 20th, when the Ravens blew out the Yankees 17-5.
Since the Ravens blew out the Yankees.
Or the Orioles. You get where I'm coming from.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They had swept Tampa, took 2 out of 3 from Atlanta, took 2 out of 3 from Philly, and then went up to New York and culminated that 2 out of 3 with a 17-5. Then they blow the lead against Houston the next night where Grayson got bombed when the Orioles gave him an early lead. But since June 20th, they're 24-27. That's below 500. And fortunately for them, the Yankees have been just as mediocre.
Right.
Clay Holmes, we could sit here and lament Craig Kimbrell, and we will, because he was terrible Friday night. Corbin Burns had the worst start of his career, too. But the closer for the Yankees, he's blown 10 saves, including last night. And they get walked off by the Tigers. So Detroit takes 2 out of 3 from New York. Orioles salvage a 4-game split after splitting a 2-game series with the Nats. And here we sit on August the 19th. And the Orioles and Yankees are tied for the best record in the American League. Well, we do know in baseball in general, there's no monster team this year.
Nope.
There's no team. Milwaukee's running away with the NL Central. But it's not because they're the 69 Orioles. They're just the best team in that division. But there might be another team or two that makes the playoffs out of there because of the wild card. But as bad as the Orioles have been, and they've been bad, and we'll get into some of the stats during the AL East report coming up at 1:15. They have the best record in the American League. I mean, just put it in perspective a little bit. And with all the, I'm not making excuses for him, by the way. Because Soto's been bad. He's stabilized a little bit. Rodgers is pitching tonight. He's been dreadful. Eplin's been brilliant. But some of these trade deadline moves haven't worked out all that great, especially in the pitching side of things. And certain Dominguez is the new closer, as we know by now. But they've had a ton. They've lost four starting pitchers, three for the year. Grayson just threw, what, over the weekend. You lost your all-star third baseman, maybe for the rest of the season. Your closer has been out the entirety of the year because he got hurt in August of 2023. The offense went into the crapper in July. And they still have their moments of inconsistencies. They can't hit with runners in scoring position for the most part. I mean, they still hit their home runs, but they become the team that if they don't homer, like yesterday, they right. don't win.
Yeah.
And can you rely on that to be enough in the postseason? I'm going to say no, but you never know. But where would this team be without Albert Suarez right now?
Whoa.
He hasn't given up a run in three starts and finally was the beneficiary of some run support in the bullpen. They tried to blow it yesterday, Perez and Cano. But luckily, Albert Suarez got the win at six of the year. This is a guy that a year ago, nobody knew who he was.
Nope.
Nobody knew who he was when spring training started in February. Now you can make a case, depending on how the next 6 weeks play out, that he might deserve Oriole MVP votes, given everything that has gone wrong for them on the pitching side of things. But Vinny, they're tied for the best record in the American League, and they've been a losing team for literally 2 months right now.
Yeah, and Hyder was on the other day, Bob. You probably heard it. They asked him, why is baseball so mediocre right now? He says, because there's so many pitchers that are hurt. That's the biggest problem. People don't have the pitching. And, you know, you look at it. The O's don't. And the inconsistencies. And, like, they had struggled defensively. But defensively, other than Suarez's little play the other day, or yesterday, that was the only negative. Otherwise, you know, Gunner with his errors before, this weekend, he's made some fabulous plays. You know, so defensively, it's been pretty good. Mullins has been good. Kowser's been good in the outfield, too. So they've been playing good defense. They, like you said, they just hadn't been hitting it. Like, I was there Saturday night. I mean, those five innings took about an hour for those five innings. It was three and out.
Yeah, and their first hit was a home run.
Right.
And then the bullpen imploded, as they have done here in the second half of the season. But again, you got to look at it. I am anyway. I'm not telling people how to think. Glass is half full.
Yep.
They're tied for first. They're tied for the Yankees for the best record in the American League. Now they go to New York, take on the Mets, and we'll talk about the Mets later in the show with Tim Britton from The Athletic. Yankees are off today. They got Cleveland coming up tomorrow, which is a huge series because the Guardians are kind of competing for that top seed as well. But every team is flawed. Yeah. There's no flawless team in either league. The Phillies have had long stretches of inconsistencies. Injuries have had a lot to do with that. The Braves have been decimated by injuries for the most part. The Dodgers have had injury problems. Mookie Betts just came back. So every team can use injuries as an excuse. Nolan, what do you think? We're sitting here on August 19th, tied for best record in the American League with the Yankees, which means they could be the look, they might be the third wild card or they could be the number one seed. It's that close. But how are we feeling about their situation given the health issues and what the roster looks like right now as it's put together by Mike Elias late eighth month of the year?
It feels like they're just treading water, and they're doing a pretty good job at it. Some people might disagree that they think they're sinking or they're drowning. I don't think they're quite there yet. They're able to tread water. So are the Yankees. I had no idea that the division race was going to play out like this. I mean, we knew pretty early on that it was two teams, Orioles and Yankees, but I thought we were destined for kind of a NL West situation from a couple years back. The Dodgers and Giants both won over 100 games. You got a division loser, a wild card team with over 100 wins. I thought for sure we were going to see that here in the AL East, but now neither team is probably going to win 100 games. So do you even want to win the division? That's a whole nother debate with the postseason format. But for now, the Orioles, they're just staying afloat. And if they can just figure it out, I mean, they could create separation in the matter of a series. That's how knotted up this is with the Yankees. So you just hope they figure it out soon.
And you mentioned the treading water.
Yeah.
They're getting stung by jellyfish. They're not getting eaten by the shark yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hanging around, but the Yankees are still lurking. Guys and ladies listening out there, the first team that goes 8-2 or 10-12, yep, that's the team that's going to wind up winning the division and probably being the number one seed in the American League. But which team is best put together to make it happen? Because you get Eflin, Burns. Now, if Kramer can deal the way he did his last start, mm-hmm, you're hanging. Suarez, we just talked about him. Rodgers has been terrible. But the bullpen's still dicey. I mean, Soto's been four straight appearances without allowing a run. The inherited runners are still there. Cano comes in with the tying or go-ahead runs on second base. I'm kind of leaning towards that runner's coming home, mm-hmm, like yesterday when Cano pitches. So the bullpen problems are real. And Craig Kimbrell, for as bad as he was in, what, April, early May, he's 1,000 times worse than that. And you could see, Vinny, the look of defeat on his face Friday night when the Red Sox, they were fighting each other to get into the batter's box to hit off of this guy.
Well, the other thing is Hider's managing, Bob, like it's a playoff game. You know, I mean, like Soto the other night, what, he walked a guy or beamed a guy, walked a guy, had the, you know, and Hider's like, out.
Yeah.
You know, I got to move on.
Yeah. I mean, what are you doing, dude? You're like gasoline on the fire. But if we want to bend, and we can, and we will, tie for first place, American League East. As Nolan mentioned, in June, early June, the Orioles and Yankees were on pace to not only win 100 games, well over 100 games. They were on pace to eclipse what they did last year when they won 101. But the injuries and the inability to hit with runners in scoring position, now your bullpen problems. They're, even though they're number one seed, whoever they would play in the playoffs, for instance, let's just pull this up. The wild cards right now, Yankees and Twins would play. And then the Royals would play the Houston Astros.
Oof.
And I guess the Orioles would get the winner of that series. Does that sound about right? And we saw what happened last year when Texas survived. Yeah. And they came in and swept the Orioles. I mean, I could see the Twinkies taking the Yankees out
in a
short series at the Bronx. I mean, there's no way to predict correctly, at least on August 19th, who the best team in the American League is.
And Bob, when you look at it, the Orioles, they've got two with the Mets and four with Houston. And then after that, they don't play, what they say on TV yesterday, they don't play a playoff team for the next 17 games. So, I mean, that's going to be their opportunity. But we've talked about this so many times. You know, beating the teams you're supposed to, they don't do that.
Yeah. Houston, by the way, is 9-1 in their last 10. They're four games up now in the AL West. But if you want to talk about the Orioles, positive, negative, hey, Gunnar Henderson's getting hot again.
Mm-hmm.
Adley went yard, so they made those three hits counts. Two of them were of the home run variety. The Ravens were back on the field Saturday at noon. I don't think I like these noon preseason games. I really like preseason games in general, but the Ravens won, so we'll talk about that when we return. If you want to get in, feel free to do so. Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun, a matter of fact, talks about the Ravens. Who's on the bubble heading into the final preseason game? In the offensive line, what did Harb say? He wanted it settled when?
A couple weeks ago.
Too late!
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Josh Johnson, is that fair? Is that fair to say?
I would say unsuspecting 10 others.
But Josh Johnson and Vinny, you've been at camp a bazillion times this year, and Cordell's been there, and everybody else from the station has been there for the most part. And backup quarterback, and everybody we talked to, we'll talk to Brian Wacker, top of the hour from the Sun. Backup quarterback, is it DEPCON 1 in the concern level? No. But a concern, sure. Because Tyler Huntley now third string in Cleveland, by the way. But Johnson, 11 for 11, had the great throw to Ty Wallace down the seam there, which set up the touchdown pass to Owen Wright. Quarterback rating well over 140 there. So does Josh Johnson's performance against Atlanta's backups, for the most part, does that make you a little bit more encouraged that if Lamar goes down, and we're hoping he doesn't, that he could come in and stem the tide a little bit here?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask Harbs, Bob, this has been over for a long time. Josh Johnson is the backup. And, I mean, he played Saturday like, okay, if Lamar were to go down like in the second quarter, he can get us through that game. I don't know that I want him starting a few games, but He could finish it out and make some plays for us in the passing game.
Yeah, and Emory Jones and Leary, the kid from Kentucky, who's got a howitzer, by the way, and he's kind of a little dude, too. It's not like he's a big strapping Josh Allen kind of guy, but Josh Johnson, by default, gets the job. But let's be honest, everybody, that your starting quarterback goes down, no matter who you are, you're screwed. That's just the way it is. And there are some teams whose starting quarterbacks are debatable, much less the backup situation.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, Antonio Pierce had to sleep on it to decide, and he picked Minshew over Connell, and Minshew's the one that played worse in the game.
Yeah, the ghost of Al Davis tap him on top of his head there. But Josh Johnson, acceptable, but the offensive line, which has been the number one storyline throughout the offseason, we're two preseason games in, Vinny. We're coming up basically on the end of the training camp portion because the regular season starts in a matter of weeks. Outside of Linderbaum, who's been hurt, and Ronnie Stanley, I mean, even Voorhees had a rough go of it.
Oh boy,
so
yes,
what questions have been answered Or are there more questions to ask a couple of weeks away from Kansas City here?
Yeah, I think there's more questions to ask. We're not getting the answers to the questions. We're getting more questions, and which makes it tough. I mean, Joe D's in the hospital, so your O-line coach is gone. You got a new O-line coach, and your O-line is struggling. So it's not a great combo. There is the issue. I mean, in that game, Voorhees, who he's been with the ones since OTAs, Voorhees Saturday was bad. He was bad, especially in pass protection. He gave up that first set. He whiffed, and he did it a couple more times. So I mean, and Kansas City got a defensive tackle that's not bad,
right?
You know, so that's going to be interesting. And you know, and Falele. Here's the thing with Falele: if they're running a run play, and they're going to run like they like to run some wide stuff, so if it's a wide run play, Falele is lined up. Let's say the guy's right over him. He's got to step with that right foot and get his head to the outside. The problem with Falele, and it happened in the game, Falele cannot sustain that. He may get his head to the outside, but then it's over, and the guy end up making the tackle. And that's the same thing with him. He cannot sustain anything in the run game. And in the pass game, for 380 pounds, he was getting knocked back too. So Falele just hadn't changed over the 3 years. I mean, he is what he is. And he's going to be a liability in the run stuff. And unless, you know, when the run game was better, when they blocked down. And what I mean by that is Rosengarten and Falele, all they do is there's a guy lined up inside and they're blocking down. All they're doing is caving it in. And they did a good job. They did a decent job at that. And Rosengarten did better than Falele because he's a better athlete. And, like, he can pull and do those things. But Rosengarten doesn't play strong. That's the problem. Like, he gives ground in the pass. And, you know, what I read today, Atlanta, Bob, 40 guys didn't dress for them. 40 are their top two guys. You know, Penix didn't play. I went on with Carucci Saturday morning. I said, this is going to be great for the Ravens defense for the secondary because Penix is going to be throwing the ball. He didn't play. You know, and 40 of their guys, first and second teamers, didn't play. So, you know, the O-line is struggling against a lot of guys that aren't even going to be playing.
Yeah, Penix shut down for the preseason, it sounds like, in Atlanta. But Grab a Heineke was out there slinging that thing around a little bit, no doubt about it. But the Ravens win 13-12. That's neither here nor there. I mean, when you compete, you want to finish on the high end of the score. So we get to the pass rush, which has been another area of concern.
Yep.
Like, no sacks in the book, but still we saw Jabo, Adiza Isaac. Yep. Vinny, you noticed him out there on the football field, doing good things to make things miserable for the opposing offense.
That's exactly right, Bob. I mean, it was Ajabo because Ajabo's had some good practices last week. And they were in shorts, but he was kind of, he walked Ronnie Stanley and stuff. So Ajabo, he showed up like right from the get-go because he was setting the anchor. He was setting the edge, and he was anchoring in there. In the run stuff. And I thought he did a nice job there in the run stuff. And then he flashed a couple pass rush moves. One time from the defensive left side, he beat the right tackle and bent the corner a little bit. And it was I'm like, yeah. I thought that's the best that he is that I have seen him in a Ravens uniform since Michigan. And if he can continue over the next 2 weeks, and they'll have a good chance Thursday practicing with the Packers, they'll get a chance to go up, you know, ones on one, good on good, which will help them, you know, in the pass rush and stuff. But Adisa Isaac, for his first game that he's played, and Bob, he has missed so much time, missed all OTAs, missed all the mini camp, missed all that stuff. So he's still working himself into, you know, game type shape, but he plays extremely hard. He's physical, and I think he'll even play faster this next game. You know, because your first game in, thinking a little bit, but because I thought maybe more explosiveness. I thought that's the only thing that I needed to see from him is more explosiveness, but like chasing the ball down, doing all hustles. He hustles his ass off all over the field. And a lot of times, you know, he was just like 6 inches away from making a play. And if he can be a little bit more explosive off the line, probably makes a lot more plays. But he did show a nice pass rush, so that was good. I mean, so you got to feel good about those two guys because, like you said, Bob, you did take notice of them. And so that was a big thing with them. But like Tavius Robinson, Bob, I just don't see it. I you know, I mean, he can play the run.
He made the play at the end of the game. Two-pointer, yeah.
Yeah. Unblocked, came down the line of scrimmage. That was great and all. But as a pass rusher, he doesn't do anything. So, I mean, he's not going to give them a lot in the pass rush. He's going to be a guy that runs stopping. Fine. He'll be fine there.
Now, we'll talk to Brian Wacker, as we said, from the Baltimore Sun top of the hour. But we talk about Adisa Isaac. He didn't get 10-ed up. And left the game late. John Harbaugh said a little cramping issue, and he's missed all this time because of a hamstring problem. Yeah. And you know who knows if it's related or not, or it's an unrelated issue for him.
Yeah, because Bob, he's pulled that hamstring 3 different times. So, so his conditioning is probably not great, and he was playing a lot of plays, and it was humid. So, because he went down, he didn't get hit or anything like that. So I thought hammy, I didn't think cramping, but I thought, like you, Bob, hammy. But if it was cramping, that's even better.
Vinny at 81.057 The Fan here on this Monday. No musical themes. We just kind of go with Nolan's flow. So we're flowing together. Orioles win yesterday 4-2. I thought it was going to be a torrential downpour. They weren't even playing. Tell you what. Weather people, you were way off yesterday. It did rain later in the night. Yeah. I think I was asleep when it started around 9:30, 10 o'clock. But you would have thought the Orioles were going to play Saturday or Sunday. But hey, it is. It's an unpredictable thing. Good way to make a living, I would think. Just like sports talk, obviously. But the Orioles salvage the split. Yankees lose late last night up at Williamsport, which helps them. We're 2 weeks away from the Ravens, basically opener against Kansas City, and we're 6 weeks left in the Major League Baseball season. Granted, the Ravens season is only beginning, but the offensive line woes and the lack of a pass rush, how concerning is that? And with the Orioles' final 6 weeks, who's going to be the first team, Baltimore or New York, that goes off on this 8-10, 10-12 to take control of the division and maybe number one in the American League? Now, at this late stage of the game, will the joint practices have any sort of, intensity to them? Because you still get your couple-week break before the regular season begins. So I guess, Vinny, this would be the last thing that would be closely resembling a real game that they're going to – the only thing they might see.
Yeah, no doubt. And Bob, they're just practicing just Thursday. Isn't that correct? I think it's just Thursday.
There's a walkthrough.
On Friday. Yeah, so, I mean,
just... No, Thursday, there's a joint practice, then Friday, the team walkthrough.
Okay, so on Thursday, yeah, it'll be a great practice, and it'll be the one, Lamar and the ones, they'll be getting a lot of reps on Thursday, because that's going to be, like you said, Bob, that's going to be the last time they do anything live till the Kansas City game, and for the O-line, that's going to be a big day for them. I mean, to me, you got to make some decisions, but I don't know who else they can put in there. That's the problem. You know, Makari was playing center, but I mean, Makari can only start at one of those three spots if they're having issues, because I'd be nervous about Rosengarten. And what they may do is they may do that rotating tackle with Rosengarten and McCary to start the season. And with Filete there, he scares me. And Voorhees, he scares me right away, at least initially, because of what happened the other day. And it's, we won't see what happens with Green Bay and stuff, but Green Bay's got some guys that can rush the passer and stuff too. So they need a lot of good work. And George Warhop, who's the new O-line coach, this is his first full week of him getting a chance to work with them and, evaluate them probably from the game the other night and see if he can help them fundamentally get better.
Yeah, Joe D'Alessandro, the news came out late last week that he's going to be on the shelf for probably an extended period of time. So Warhop comes in, but he's got extensive NFL experience at that spot.
George is 62 years old, Bob, and he worked with Monken in Tampa. And he's been – we had Vic Carucci on the other day, and when Vic was working in Cleveland, George was there in Cleveland too. So he's a veteran O-line coach, and he's a good O-line coach. So maybe he can – you know, help some there with, you know, the fundamentals of the game, because they can't make a decision right now. I mean, any decision they make right now, when you're going into the game, you're nervous. You're nervous as hell going into that game, because, you know, you got Karloftis out there, who's a good rusher. He's going to cause problems. Then you got Jones. They can line him up anywhere. So they got two guys that are really good rushers that can cause a lot of problems for you.
So the Ravens trying to get this offensive line settled as Kansas City looms on September the 5th. Nolan, as we've had two preseason games, basically an entirety of a training camp, are you more worried about the offensive line today than you were when things started? I'm kind of in the – I think this could be a big problemo for them moving forward here. And it's not like Jonathan Ogden and Joe DeLamalore are waiting for jobs here in the offseason.
Right. I feel about the same, and that's worried. I was worried before, still very worried. I mean, I don't know. They're trying everything and anything in these preseason games. They're swapping guys around. I mean, Cleveland getting reps at center. I don't know who authorized that. With the snap over Johnson's head.
You got a problem with that?
Just a bit. I think we could do a little bit better than that. And obviously, Linderbaum's your center. You're just looking for other backup options. And Cleveland hasn't latched on to any role yet in his career. So you'll try anything you can. But, I mean, I thought it was just bad all around on Saturday. I mean, even Voorhees, a guy who I think of the young crop of guys, he's probably towards the top, and you're most confident in him that he looked the part. But I mean, he was a turnstile on that sack on the first drive,
and it happened. Yeah. It had happened a couple more times after that. He gets off balance. You lean forward, they're going to pull right by you. And if those are third team guys, good Lord knows,
right?
You know, and the other issue they got too is blocking tight end. And I tried to watch Kohler a lot, especially when the second time I watched it, and he's a really smart guy, and the only way that he can get the block done, if he does he's got to do his technique perfectly, otherwise he can't knock anybody off the ball. He will not knock anybody off the ball, and he's 270 pounds, but that's not him. He is not a violent guy, and you know, they don't knock anybody off the ball. They started to, like, in the third quarter, but those were probably guys that, if 40 guys aren't playing, that's guys like 80 and 90, you know, that you're knocking off the ball.
Yeah, they went to the Oriole game after that thing was over. But where the hell is Linderbaum, by the way?
He's got a neck. I read neck. I thought, you know, because they said soft tissue, I thought maybe it was a hammy, but it's been a neck. So, you know, hopefully he'll be back pretty soon, because he's been out now, this is what, going on 3 weeks?
Yeah, and Lamar got sacked a lot last year.
Yes, he did.
With you had a bunch of all pros, or a couple anyway, serviceables on the O-line, and we know Moses has gone to New York and Zeitler's in Detroit, and then, of course, Simpson went up to the Jets as well. But if Linderbaum's banged up, Stanley, and Vinny, you've been out there, looks as healthy as he's been in probably 5 years, literally.
Yeah.
But at what stage of his career is he in regards to how productive he can be, even if he is 100% healthy right
now? Yeah, I'd like to see – I'd love to watch the film for Thursday. I'd love to be there on Thursday to watch the Packers to see how Ronnie is, because it's Ronnie's first time. You know, like when I was out there the other day, Bob, and they were in pads – and it was a run play. Ajabo just took Ronnie Stanley, threw him right to the ground. Just bam! You know, so there's still some concerns. Ronnie needs to be a top 20 tackle, not a top 5. He needs to be a top 20 tackle, and he'll be okay. That's the thing. And you can only help, you know, you can't help the guards. I guess you turn protection, you can help the guards if it's 3-on-2. But otherwise, with the tackles, You know, you're going to put keep two guys in there. What they did was, Bob, otherwise what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to three steps. The ball's got to come out real quick, you know, so Lamar doesn't get killed. And, well, I saw what they did a couple times, play action pass on first down, which they had time to throw the ball then. Otherwise quarterbacks were running.
A good positive for the Ravens was the play of Pepe Williams and Jalen Armour Davis on Saturday as their third year in the league looking to be forces here. And, you know, with Mallette hurt, you know, this could open a door for maybe a bubble guy. And I saw that TJ Tampa came back to practice late last week. Bo Braid made some plays on Saturday, former Maryland Terrapin. We can get into that. Orioles, they win yesterday 4-2. They had four runs, three hits. Two of those hits fortunately left the yard. So the Birds salvaged the four-game split with the Boston Red Sox. But the Yankees blew one. Hey, it was Scooble. Scooble and Stroman in Williamsport as a pitcher's duel. No. But Clay Holmes blew his 10th save. So the Yankees had their own bullpen problems. But that's their problem. Is Dominguez the answer that the Orioles need to close out games in the final 6 weeks of the regular season with the Orioles tied for first, tied for the best record in the American League? We'll get to the surgery. I had a retina surgery 2 weeks ago tomorrow. It's called a pucker. For those new to the show, I had a torn retina 2 years ago. It was right around 4th of July.
Like, how do you tear your retina?
No idea. They assume it's not like I was fighting Tommy Hearns in Vegas right. And got a left jab in my face for 15 rounds. That I had retina vein occlusion, and the shots that I got to get rid of that built up scar tissue. I've had needles stuck in my eye that would make Wes Craven jealous of the horror that has happened there. But I got a high pain tolerance. Anyway, the scar tissue apparently helped contribute to the retina tear. I woke up one day and it was like somebody just closed the shades on my eye.
Damn.
So I got that surgery 2 years ago. Ever since that surgery, I've not been able to see out of my right eye. I see shapes. I see colors. Like I'm staring at three TVs. This TV, Vinny, looks like somebody's smooshing it in like an accordion. That one looks like somebody's smashing it from the top. If my left eye was like my right eye, I'd be a disabled person.
Wow.
I wouldn't be able to drive, couldn't read. As a self-experiment, I tried to watch like a half inning of the Oriole game with my right eye. Couldn't see the ball. Couldn't see the score. I mean, it was just like, oh, my God, this sucks. No way in hell I could drive. So I go in two Tuesdays ago, get the pucker, which is a membrane that grows over top the retina, that pulls on the retina to cause the distortion. It's like an out-of-focus TV.
Right.
But worse. No pain whatsoever. Let me stress, not in pain. I mean, like you touch, it's still kind of swollen. Still got blood in it. But if you touch it, it's a little sore. But I'm not like, oh my God. So that's done. My vision is exactly the same as it was since before the surgery. And it's been 2 weeks. I've been doing a mega steroid drop regimen. Honestly, I forgot that I left them at home, so I got to catch up on it. And it's to the point, so I'll drink it. I'll just drink the stuff. Because your eye hurts by holding it open to drip stuff in it. That's where the pain comes from. So it has been a pain in the ass because of the vision loss in my eye. It's a drag. But I want to, thanks for everybody who reached out and everyone that well wishes. And I appreciate the kind thoughts, but it is what it is. Now the question is, because I go back to see my eye doctor on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Chuck, I'm going to need off next Monday. And we'll see where it goes. But, you know, 2 weeks past Vinny and no change whatsoever. Let's just say I'm not encouraged by the results right now.
Now, when you were going in for the surgery, the prognosis for you being able to see, what was your doctor telling you then?
It's never going to be the same as it was pre-surgery the first time. And I didn't know that a torn retina means, because Sugar Ray Leonard came back and started boxing again. Granted, he probably had a little more at his disposal when it comes to, I'm not saying my doctor sucks by any stretch of the imagination, but I can't see. And she said it'll be better than it was before. Like, for instance, I need new eyeglasses. I've been wearing the same prescription for over 3 years, and I got to go see my man, Dr. Spind, to get new glasses so my left eye doesn't go down the crapper. So it was supposed to be better, but she did give the caveat of no guarantees. And we're kind of leaning in the no guarantees.
That's like when I went in for my surgery, I said, no, there is also a possibility of death, you know, kind of thing.
Hey, well, you know, open heart surgery, yeah. I'm assuming that is a strong possibility when they literally take your heart out of your body. But I'm discouraged, frustrated.
Yeah, I would be.
But, you know, being the East Baltimore guy that I am, I'll power through. But if my left eye goes down to crapper, the Bobster's screwed. It is what it is. And I don't know Braille, too old to learn new stuff, can't watch a ball game, knock on wood, it doesn't get to that point. But I just want to get new glasses, man. And I go to your optometrist, say, hey, I need new glasses. Well, let's do the eye test. What, you know, I have to read the line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They put letters for my right eye, the side, they could hang off the side of M&T Bank Stadium and I can't see them. Well, how about we just do this little flippy thing where it's a bunch of dots and said it's even worse. You might as well just put a patch over my eye. How many times I got to tell you, I can't see. And I'm not making it up. But the thing is, you could see it now because there's blood still in my eye.
Mm-hmm.
But from you looking at me, you couldn't tell. But me looking out, it's like looking at a dirty fishbowl. 24 hours a day.
And what are the limitations that you have now? Like can't work out or anything?
I've already done that. I was on the Everlast. I was shooting hoops 5 days last week when I wasn't back at the follow-up appointment for the doctor. I don't think I can go out and, like, you know, do powerlifting or anything like that. Not that I would anyway. I could have Superman vision and I wouldn't be powerlifting. But there are some if I did, like, physical labor,
right,
I wouldn't be here right now. She said you wouldn't even be allowed back to work until the blood disappears. So there you go. Not to make it all about me. I mean, I felt better on Friday than Craig Kimbrell did. I know about that. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk about that with Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com, bottom of the hour. But hey, is the eye better than what the Ravens offensive line's? I know my left eye could see pretty good. And the offensive line was struggling on Saturday. But we did see some encouragement, as we talked about earlier, from some of the young pass rushers and some of the young quarterbacks. Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. And Nolan McGraw is on the other side here on this Monday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.